When I pastored in Elliott Lake, there was a wonderful gentleman in the church named Von Gigge. And when he would lead that song, he had to say, "Count your many blessings, count them ton by ton." Okay. And I've always believed that you must count your blessings and you must give thanks before you start your confession, because it gives you the perspective of who God is and who we are. And if you only start with all your problems and your shopping list of the things we're appealing for, you don't get to recognizing how good God is. And so thanksgiving is good for that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and only verse 20. Ephesians 5, verse 20. We're going to be looking at three other passages of Scripture in the message today, but here's where we're camping on this text this morning, where it says, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a rather remarkable little book written by Barbara Kipfer entitled 14,000 Things to Be Happy About. Barbara Ann Kipfer is a linguist and a lexicographer. Yeah. She has written more than 30 books, including the best-selling book that you might have seen on the bookstands, 14,000 Things to Be Happy About, and the page-a-day calendars based on it. She claims this book represents 20 years of recording all the little things that make her happy, which is a good lesson right there. She says it started in the sixth grade with a spiral notebook, then to larger notebooks, and finally to a personal computer that now contains more than a million bytes of things that make her happy. So I went to her website this week, which is www.thingstobehappyabout.com, and found one of her daily lists on October the 2nd of 2018. So that was this week. It said, here was the list. Things to be happy about on Tuesday, October the 2nd, 2018. Being in tune with nature. Suitcase items unmoved. High-powered mouthwash. Bright-colored vegetables. Playing with words. And baseball in October, to which I said amen. That's my sport. It's slow enough I can understand it. Her listings, both in the book and on the daily site, are insightful and they are interesting. But even more important is the encouragement to be a person who notices such things, that our eyes are tuned to see the things that we can be thankful for. We all ought to be people who are looking at all of life with senses of gratitude and words of thanksgiving. In fact, that's exactly what we are commanded to do by the Apostle Paul in the text we just read, which I'm going to read again. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. It's not a command to a non-believer, it's a command to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So, with Thanksgiving as the holiday we are celebrating, and the clear command from the apostle that we are to give thanks always and for everything to God, let's look to three passages involving Moses, David, and Jesus that bring perspective to this theme of thanks. So the first one is Moses in Deuteronomy 8, verses 10 to 20. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 to 20. "And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Moses is here speaking prophetically about the blessings that will accrue to the Israelites as they go in and possess the land. They haven't gone there yet, but he says you are going to go in and you're going to be blessed in that. Moses clearly tells them that their future is prosperous. God has promised to bless his people when they give him first place. And Jesus tells us that if we seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness, all the other things will be added to us as well. So that Old Testament promise, which is much more tangible, is also given to us in the New Testament upon the right priority of seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness first. But Moses is also warning the Israelites here not to forget to give thanks when all these blessings come and they are in the midst of enjoying them. And in verse 14, he uses the phrase, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. My friends, perspective easily changes in the midst of prosperity. When you had nothing, you were desperate. When you have plenty, we coast. And perspective often changes and easily changes in the midst of prosperity. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. Okay. God gave us the gifts to be able to work to gain the wealth. Thus, the giving of thanks is not to be primarily an emotional response to blessing. That's where our world is. Okay, when I have lots, I feel good and I give thanks. That's an emotional response. But it is to be a determined attitude and an act of the will that keeps before our mind's eye where our blessings come from, as well as the extent of them. So in the day you have little, okay, you do it by a choice, by a commitment of the will. In the day you have much, you still give it, not because of the emotional feeling good of everything, but as an act of your will, recognizing that you have a determined attitude to make sure God gets the praise and the thanks for everything. As well, Moses gives the Israelites a warning that if and when they forget the Lord your God, their God, they will surely perish. And when we read the rest of the Old Testament, we see that reality lived out in cycles of discipline and repentance, of renewal, of forgetting, and then discipline. And when you read the Old Testament history, you need to watch that, because when they walked away, very much God said, you got to be brought back to repentance because you're forgetting that which is crucial. So Moses is the first one we look to this morning to see that we are to give thanks to our God for all of our manifold blessings and not to forget to do so. So now turn with me to Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3, as we consider David. Psalm 103, and we're going to read the first three verses. You will remember this psalm, I'm sure, having heard it before. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So while some psalms can be put in their immediate context, like our speaker did this morning on the video we watched, this is not one of them. So we do not know the exact experience out of which Psalm 103 was written. But it does show us three things about thanksgiving, which confirmed what Moses has already written. First, David recounts the need to give thanks to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We've sung that before, haven't we? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He is well aware that there has to be an outlet from within his deepest self, his soul, to express praise and thanksgiving to his God. And we see this time and time again in the Psalms. Have you found yourself driving down the road, looking? I mean, when I come out here, I see every season. The one that's least appealing is, you know, the 10 feet of snow blowing across the road. But I see the fields changing and the crops now coming in. But when I begin to see the trees coloring, like just taking place, okay, you're driving down the road. Don't you burst out in song with something like that? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Or we give thanks. We give thanks with a grateful heart. Okay. No one's going to hear you, so you can make a joyful noise. But we are to let it out, okay, in the ways that are appropriate. And there's got to be an outlet, is what he's saying. There's got to be an outlet for that which you have. So there's a need to give thanks. We need to do that. Secondly, David recounts God's gifts in many areas of life. Forget not all his benefits. That's why when I was saying that our world looks at the physical and the tangible blessings and they enumerate those and they're grateful, you and I who are believers need to actually look at the whole spectrum of what God has granted to us and give thanks. In verse 3, he proceeds then to do that, to enumerate in his own mind the benefits that have come to him. Look at forgiveness of his iniquity. My friend, you were not born this nice Christian. You were born dead in transgressions and sins, but today you can come to the communion table because Christ has forgiven those sins and forgiven all your iniquity. That ought to be a great relief and a great awareness and great thanksgiving. Okay, the healing of disease. I suspect all of us know times in which God has answered some prayer for us that changed the direction, like our brother here. The redemption of life from the pit. And then crowned with steadfast love and mercy. As we talked about in Sunday school, God is immutable, doesn't change. Therefore, his blessings always come to us. He can be counted on. Satisfaction and compassion, awareness of our need and the reality of our frailness. All of the areas he's talking about. Forget not all his benefits. And as he spends specific time thinking about each of the blessings, they are an ever-increasing spiral up so that the last three verses are a call to the whole creation to bless the Lord. Let's look at the... Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Great psalm for thanksgiving. And we would do well to think as specifically as David did about the great listing of the benefits that have come to us from the good hand of God. But thirdly, David in his reflection warns himself about how easy it is to forget such gifts and forget not all his benefits. That means we can forget. Now, we know that even though David was a man after God's own heart, that he fell miserably when tested to compromise morally. Thus, this great believer in God was very aware of his mortality and his frailty and his propensity to wander. There's a verse of a hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave thy God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. This is this willingness to come back time after time to give thanks because I'm prone to wander, prone to forget. He reminds us via this statement to himself that we must give very clear remembrance to all of the blessings of God. So we have seen that Moses affirms the command that Paul has given to us to give thanks on all occasions. We have seen affirmed by David that we ought to do the same thing. What of Jesus in this regard? Well, go with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." In this third text, we have the story of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, on the edge of the Galilee-Samaritan border. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. And notice, as he was the norm in that society at the time, they kept their distance from him. But they cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." Jesus sent them on their way to be examined by the priest. Notice, he didn't heal them. He sent them on their way to be examined by the priest, which could only happen if they were cleansed of the disease. And as they obeyed and went on their way, they were cleansed. The crux of the story is that while all of them were healed and saw that they were healed, only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, did an about-face, crying out with gratitude to God in a loud voice and then throwing himself down at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And it is noted that this one, this particular man, wasn't even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. The haunting words of this account are those of Jesus. "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" This is a graphic illustration of the warning of David in Psalm 103 and Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that we can so easily forget, or worse, take for granted the blessings that have come to us from the providence and grace of our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to our underlying text, Ephesians 5:20. "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." When Paul calls us to give thanks always for everything, he is instructing us three things. First, to notice all the blessings that we have received. My friends, do you start there? We have been given physical life. That's a gift of God. We have been given spiritual life. That is a gift of God. We have been preserved to be alive and aware to this day. Each of you are sitting here breathing, okay, and your stomachs are full. We have been given that to this day. That, too, is a gift of God. And there are countless little blessings that we should be daily enumerating. May that become a conviction of our lives this Thanksgiving. Like my friend Von Gigi, count your blessings, name them ton by ton. And the principle that you give thanks before you start interceding, so that you recognize the blessings that are coming your way. It sets your mind up to relate to God in the right way. Secondly, he is instructing us to refuse to forget those blessings. Will you make a point of choosing to list your blessings ahead of your concerns, your blessings ahead of your problems? Now, the times in which we live, and you know I've referred to this time after time, that life for believers, for genuine believers in the days to come, are going to become more and more difficult. We know that each one has needs. Okay. And we need to carry those burdens and those needs and pray for those difficulties. But will you start with your blessings, not with your needs? And third, he is instructing us to gratefully express our thanks to God for both the collective flow and the individual gifts. For how we can see the pattern of his goodness over our lifetime and the individual gifts that we see right now. Will you make it a point to verbally give thanks to God for all that he has done for you? And if you haven't made a point of doing that in the past, get yourself a little notebook and start thinking through. Okay, what has he done for me? And write it down. Because I'm suggesting this. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have a skeptic or a person who doesn't believe ask, what's your God ever done for you? And what you need to be able to ask is, what year do you want me to tell you? Not, I wonder if I can find anything. And the way my brain works, if you don't write it down, you don't have it. Okay, but I'm saying we need to be specific. Always be prepared to give an account for the hope that's in you. Okay, and if you've seen that, you'll be able to trust more in the days to come, but you're also able to give a witness. How significantly appropriate it is this morning that on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we turn to the table of our Lord, where we come in deep thanksgiving to Almighty God for his provision of salvation, and out of that, every blessing we have through the work of his Son. So as we come to the table this morning, may it be a time and a place where we can offer up to God thanksgiving appropriate to the blessings that have been provided in Christ. Let's pray, let's sing, and then let's come to the table. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We cannot thank you enough for the fact that you have given us life initially. You have granted us sustaining providential care over the lifetimes, our lifetimes to this point. You have granted to the majority of people here this morning an awareness of the gift of eternal life, and that you promise to be with us wherever we go. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to be people who live with that kind of gratefulness and thankfulness for your mindfulness of us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.